Good morning. This is indeed Hot Start.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
I used to be Digital Dave, but it's day seven, so I don't know what I am.
Right, we're completely
However,
shot.
I want to say that 10 times fast. Convective cumulus clouds.
Convective cumulus clouds.
All right.
Good, good, good.
And I was wondering, she said, you know, obtain your own weather briefing. And I never realized that you're supposed to consult one of those California psychics during that briefing.
I was actually thinking more along the line of, I need weather boxers. I don't like briefs.
Oh.
Ba-dum-bum.
Oh, my. You know, go sit on the roof.
Thank you. I'll go out on the porch now.
You're going to have to stay after school for that one.
Good luck with that. Anyway, in our studio today, we have Keith Smith. Good morning.
Good morning.
And
oh, there's that rich accent. It came right through.
I love it, too.
It sounds so good in Wisconsin.
You're involved with Pilot Edge, an online ATC system?
I am. I am indeed. Sorry, the guys just helped me move the mic here. I am. We're introducing a brand new service which has never been made available in a flight simulator before. We're adding live air traffic control to flight simulators. And the first thing people say usually when I say that is, oh, is it computer-generated air traffic control? Am I just talking to the computer? And we have to tell people right away, no, you're talking to a real, warm body somewhere else on the other side of the world, or more likely the other side of the country. And we provide you with live air traffic control services in your simulator, as well as live air traffic. So the planes that you see outside the window in the simulator will be other pilots flying around in the system.
So in other words, you set up like one server that is one area.
Correct.
And it has an air traffic controller as well as, you know, all the simulations.
It does. We cover about 200 public use airports up and down the California coast. It's the Northern California area, parts of Reno, parts of Arizona, and then all of Southern California. And plenty of airports, from small airports, the medium airports, all the way up to the airports that handle the big jets. And we want to get all sorts of people doing all sorts of operations in there, because that's exactly what happens in the real world. We want everything from 152s to biz jets to military guys up to the airliners. And we're speaking to each of those different markets to get them onto the platform.
Now, I wonder if when the guy screws up, he has to call the tower.
Yeah.
Effectively, yes. Yeah, we're going to be keeping a book on people. And if the number of incursions exceeds a certain amount, we'll kind of have a chat with them. And we actually have a training program which we will insist that people take if they keep showing up on that list. And
all right. Well, I'm kind of curious. What kind of flight simulators are we talking about? The ones used by, say, Flight Safety International, or is this somebody at home with a computer and say Microsoft Flight Simulator?
Yes, and yes, it would be Flight Safety, CAE, FRASCA, Precision Flight Controls. All of those sims at those levels, so AATDs, FTDs, all the way up to real flight simulators with capital F, capital S in the FAA sense, down to FS9, FSX, and X-Plane being used at home. So we want to make this available to people using it at home, either on a recreational basis or for personal training from home, as well as being used at a flight school. So when you go and sit at a flight school in one of those simulators, right now your CFI tends to sit in the back and put his or her hand over her mouth and say, United 123, climb and maintain 5,000. And they sometimes they get the phraseology right, but more than often they get it wrong. And more to the point, there's no one else really in the environment. You're flying by yourself. And so we want to take that load off of the instructor. And there's actually there's been a lot of research done by the FAA to find out what the best way is to simulate air traffic control in these simulators. And the CFIs are being double tasked with instructing and providing the ATC. It's really not the most efficient way to go. So we want to offload that. We'll take on the ATC, and the instructor can just focus 100% on instructing. But to your question, we absolutely want people using it from home as well.
Nice.
So that's a great way to be introduced into that environment safely.
Exactly. It turns out stick and rudder stuff is, at least in my opinion, is not that hard to learn, the basics of stick and rudder. And so when people practice that in the simulator, I think they quickly get it right, and you start reaching the limits of what you can practically achieve in the simulator. Certainly instrument flight, you can spend a lot of time practicing the fundamentals, but at some time the rubber hits the road and you need to talk to ATC and start building that situational awareness. You know, a student pilot, when he or she is issued a takeoff clearance and to do closed traffic, that student pilot is typically looking at airspeeds and, you know, really is almost 100% self-centered on what's going on in their airplane. You compare that to an ATP who's cleared for takeoff, and he or she has been listening to all those radio calls from air traffic control while they've been taxiing, and they've built up their own picture in their mind of what's going on around them. You know, they know what the winds are doing. They know if people are going missed. They know if people are getting wind shear reports. They know if someone's on a 5-mile final, and that ATC is probably going to ask them to maybe keep it moving as they roll onto the runway. They build that picture of what's going on around them. That's the difference, I think, one of the big differences between a student pilot and an ATP. It's not just how smoothly they talk on the radio. It's not just about building comm skills, although that's important. It's also about building situational awareness. The only way today to build situational awareness is to spend a boatload of money and fly in an airplane, because the simulators aren't up to the task of helping you build that SA and those comms. And we think that this program is going to change that.
Well, we live in one of the most congested areas in the country, right outside of Philadelphia.
Right.
Not 100 miles north of us, you have the New York area, which is like Mondo traffic up there. And this, you know, like you said, stick and rudder is easy. It's the communications, the situational awareness, dealing with controlled airspace. There's a lot going on out there just other than flying the plane.
Absolutely, and that's actually where I fly, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And I don't want to say the controllers will rip you apart, but if you don't make good use of their time and you have poor radio skills and your first check-in consists of 3 seconds of before each transmission, they're going to get you onto a vector outside of the Bravo airspace and tell you to maybe try again another day when it's not so busy. But if you are at least reasonable on the radio and you know what's going on around you, I have never once been turned away from the airspace that I want to fly through.
If you from sound transitioning like, through, right.
That's right. That's right. And so I don't think it's that hard to get to that point. It's just expensive to get to that point if you don't have a good way of practicing it.
And so many people are afraid of the radio more than the airplane.
We have seen that here at the show, to be honest. We've been demonstrating our service in some precision flight controls, AATDs, beautiful simulators. And people get all excited to sit in the sim. They see the 3-screen visual. They see the great cockpit, full cockpit, motion platform. They jump right in. And we say, oh, the one thing you should know is that we're also providing live ATC today. We put the headset on them. I'd say a quarter of them run screaming for the exit. They are not interested in speaking to ATC. And what's actually a little concerning is they don't seem interested in improving improving that. They don't perceive that there's a value in working with ATC. And I think there absolutely is. It's another set of eyes. At the very least, it's another set of eyes for you out there.
Well, in any area that's congested, you have to be able to work with ATC, and that's all there is to it.
Right.
You're not going to get off the runway.
You know, and of course, you know that flying in that in our area, you've got a mixture of everything from Nordo airplanes and helicopters all the way up to the big jets. And you got to watch out. It's crowded up there. You might not see them, but they're there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even if you feel you are very proficient on the radio now, when you go to fly instrument procedures in the sim, there's a huge difference between flying it alone, where you can sit back and relax in the sim and brief that approach plate without any interruption. You can just go from top to bottom. It's a pretty unrealistic way to brief an approach, actually, because when you're flying in the Northeast, at least my experience has been, I'm about 2 seconds into my brief before there's either a radio call that's for someone else, and my brain has to kind of list, keep one ear open. Was that call sign for me, or was it for someone else? Was it a call that's pretty important, that even if it wasn't for me, it might affect me soon? Any other kind of distraction that can just stop you from briefing that approach. And I fly a relatively fast airplane, and I put myself in a situation where it was moderate chop, I would say, nighttime, and I'm trying to brief an approach. And with the radio going nonstop, the combination of all those three things, it must have taken me a full 10 minutes to get that approach briefed. And I'm really, really glad that I started a long way out. And I've learned that in flying in our simulator as well. We provide enough distractions on Pilot Edge because of all the traffic that's on there that we will keep you busy, and that's the goal. And we've seen it in the demos countless times when people are flying in the pattern. They get distracted in the pattern, and then they're not watching their instruments or quite keeping things square. We've got them looking out the window left and right for that other traffic.
So do you have a website for this?
We do. We do. We have pilotedge.net.
Going to have to take a look at that.
Yeah,
you
find
will.
Find out everything you need to know.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's all the information you need, and we'll also be running specials over at Precision Flight Controls, who's our partner. They're at flypfc.com. You'll be able to sign up through either site, and we're hoping to get some Oshkosh specials on there in the near future too.
Is Oshkosh in your area of service so far?
We that's a tough question. we are going to be covering the West Coast for quite a while. We understand the urge for people to want to fly locally, and I understand it myself. I'm on the East Coast. But the reality is, it is much better to fly in a congested area than it is to fly in your home area by yourself in terms of being able to look for traffic and work on the radio. So we're going to take all that traffic that would have been randomly scattered about the U.S. with not much traffic density in each area, and we'll cram them into the West Coast.
So that's a whole nother level of confusion, trying to find your way to an unfamiliar airport through unfamiliar airspace with a lot of traffic.
Not a bad thing, I think.
Yeah. Especially if you're underground in a simulator.
All right. Well, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And you're listening to Hot Start on EAA Radio.